thought I was a good multitasker where I could run. And what happened was I got the call before I got in the shower. So I couldn't very well drive down the road while I was talking. And I promise you, since I worked in the kennel this morning, you wouldn't want me to come without a shower. So, anyway, I might just give you a little report on the Dominican. We had a really, actually, I was going to the campground, and I was in the shower to Sister Smith had packed for the campground, and I was taking a shower while she was finishing packing, and we were fixing to get in the car and take off for the campground. And while I was in the shower, I just felt like I needed to go to the Dominican Republic, and that it would be, I just felt like it, you know, I'm not going to be able to go back over there. I just felt I need to go. So when I got out of the shower, I told my wife, I said, you know, it cost us a fortune to buy tickets this late. But I said, I think I've got enough sky miles for both of us to go on miles, you know, free. So I said, if we've got enough sky miles, we're going to the Dominican Republic to the campground. I just feel like the Lord's dealing with me about that. So she said, okay. She said, well, I'll have to unpack and repack because this ain't, you know, for the Dominican. And so I got on the computer and I said, we got enough miles and I found tickets. So I said, get to repacking. So, you know, she does say that life is interesting with me. And so we bought tickets about noon and caught a, I don't remember, 6 o'clock flight. The way I bought tickets was to fly from here to Miami, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Miami, and spend the night and get up the next morning flying to the Dominican Republic. So I knew it was going to cost us a motel bill, and Miami wasn't going to get there at midnight either. But our plane was delayed going to Dallas, and it was a mechanical delay, so they bought our ticket. They kept us in Dallas and booked us the next day onto the Dominican Republic, so they paid for our motel and dinner and breakfast the next morning and all that, so that worked out. So we got onto the Dominican Republic, and the other thing is Sister Smith, she's, you know, she's got a little bit of devil still in her, and she told me, she said, don't tell Brother Green that we're coming. I said, well, I need to know that he's there. She said, well, just call him and tell him that you're sending a preacher. So I did. I called him and I said, look, you got a preacher coming from the United States. He'll be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the airport. Pick him up. He said, who is it? And I said, well, just make a sign that says Emilio Green. I told him to look for that and be standing out there with your sign. And so, I don't know why he never did ask me again who it was. He kept saying, Elias kept telling me to ask who it is coming. And he said, but I felt like, you know, you was sending somebody that you didn't want to tell us who it was, but it was going to be, you know, probably somebody great because, you know, it's going to be a good deal, you know. So I said, well, this man's a good preacher now. You want to take care of him? Anyway, Sister Smith videoed us coming out of that airport. When they saw us, they just went crazy. You know, they just thought that was hilarious that we did something like that to them. But we really had a great time, really some wonderful outpourings of the Spirit. The first Sunday, I told them, I said, call Brother Calderon, Brother Elias, and all y'all have services together on an all-day service for this guy on Sunday. And, of course, it's what I normally do anyway, you know. So I said, tell him I said to do it that way. That's what I want you to do for this guy. I said, okay, we'll do it. So Brother Carpio, Brother and Sister Carpio came in from Putacana, which, by the way, those of you that's been over there, the four-lane highway that goes from Santo Domingo to La Romana, they have now cut it all the way through to Putacana, which Putacana was a two-hour drive through horrible roads and, you know, two-lane traffic, and just you get behind some of them tourist buses and you can't, you know, it's just a pitiful way to have to go over there. They cut that four-lane highway all the way through to Putacana, and Brother Carpio can drive now from his house in Putacana to Brother Green's front door to Brother Green's church in 45 minutes. So it's really made a big difference. No, that's, well, it's a, you know, they don't have much of a speed limit over there. It's kind of do what, I've never seen anybody get stopped over there for anything, in town or out of town. You know, I mean, there's, Brother Green does tell me that there's three red lights in town that you're supposed to stop for, and he said everybody does, but I seem like he don't every time. And I did a little driving when I was over, and I don't know which ones they are, so I just go on in anyway with the traffic, kind of. Anyway, that first day service is just a packed house, and I'll tell you, the covering was so deep that it just broke me all up. I just couldn't hardly, you know, it was just so wonderful. But we just really had several things happen while we were there. I'll just give you some of the highlight things. One, the second day I was there, Brother Green told me, he said, there's a Haitian brother that I know, and I've known him for years, that tells me he came over to my house the first day, I guess it was, I was there that morning, but Ann and I were still in our room. Brother Green has a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home now that the rent on it's $300 a month, and I pay $200 of it for my room. And I've got the master bedroom and bath. And I've pretty well got it stocked now where I can just grab a briefcase and get on a plane and go. I've got my clothes over there and all my sundry items. And so I'm pretty well, it's got a little refrigerator in it. I put an air conditioner in it. Brother Thompson, if you ever want to go over there, well, it's air conditioned for you. Got internet with Wi-Fi. I finally had trouble with them because I got them to get internet with Wi-Fi, and I don't know, whatever kind of little Wi-Fi deal they had wouldn't go any further here to that pole. He was out of Wi-Fi by the time he got 10 steps away. So I bought a good router and took over there and hooked that up, and it still didn't work very good. And I found out they just had like maybe less than 1 gigabyte of internet service, you know. So I got him to take me to town, and we had it upgraded. Well, after I left, his wife put it back the way it was because she didn't. What I finally found out was is that he has her pay the internet bill out of her check, and she kept turning it off, and I'd turn it back on. It always cost a connection fee and all that, you know. Finally, this time, I got it bumped up to a good internet service, and I said, look, I told Sister Edie, I said, I'm going to pay for the internet service. So it don't come out of your check. I'll have Brother Green write you a check every month for the internet. So Shep made her happy, so I think I'm going to get it this done this time. Anyway, but Sister Smith and I were still in our room, and this guy came over, and he told Brother Green, he said, I've got an uncle that died. He had a little Haitian church, and he said he has no family. His wife's dead, kid, no living children. And, of course, he was sick, so the church was closed down, and there's nobody, you know, people have scattered. But he said, before my uncle died, he talked to me and told me, you're the only one I have. He said, I do have a cousin that's distant related, but I'm the closest relation to my uncle. And he said, he told me, I'm leaving this church to you to take care of, make sure that the pastor gets in there and that those people in that area have a little church. So he told Brother Green, he said, I need your help. I need to know what to do with this. So Brother Green told him, well, Brother Smith is here from the, you know, who we work with, and our church is, he's our elder, and we'll, I'll talk to him about it, and we'll talk about it. I'll talk to you later this week. So he told me about that. The next day, I guess Elias hit me with his car is going to be repossessed. And even though he's a good man, you just got to understand third world countries, and you know they want to do right, but they just so their economic situation is so pitiful. And Elias has got a house that he sold his house and bought. And when he bought it, you would have thought, you idiot. You know, because I mean, just a concrete, unfinished, totally unfinished, just concrete blocks, you know, and supposed to be two-story, had no top on it, just a pitiful mess. And he sold it a nice home. It was paid for and bought this. But, you know, and I haven't helped him, really. I haven't helped him on that house, but he's really, it's now, he's got the second floor put on it. It still looks horrible outside because it's just concrete shell. But inside, he's got beautiful terrazzo tile, Brother Calderon laid throughout the whole home. It's gorgeous. Still concrete slick walls inside, but they've got their furniture in. They moved in and kind of camped out there, you know. But they've just kept working on it, and he finally got the top up. He's going to be 6 bedrooms and 6 baths. He's doing it to keep missionaries. He's got a vision, you know, that he wants to take care of people when they come over there. And it's really impressive, even though, I mean, now you can see that it's going to be something super nice. And how he wound up with it, I don't know. And how he's finishing it, I don't know. But it's really nice inside, and you know, I mean, they just have their way about turtle crawling their way through life, you know. And but you know, he's got a loan. He got a loan to build, you know, add on all this. And of course, Joel was there, and Joel has such a talented musician. He plays in these hotel. No, not a lounge, but it's a. They're, he won't let him play in the lounge, but he lets him play in these resort hotel dining rooms where they just have kind of like a piano bar type deal. But Joel can make money. Joel's got enough talent, he can make money. And so Joel's helping him. But Joel fell in love, and he's in Boston, and Daddy ain't seen him or any money from him in a while. So, and this was, Joel helped him get that car and borrowed money on it, so he owed money on it anyway. Long story short, he owed $1,556. Are they taking it away from him? This week, that's what they told me, you know. So I sent him down there to see if they could work on some way. He borrowed $1,250 on the car a year ago, been making $200 a month payments on it, still owes $1,556 to pay it off. So you're talking about, no, Brother Elias. So you're talking about, and I just gave him $200 to put tires on it 3 weeks ago. I mean, he didn't tell me, you know, I'm fixing to lose this car, but I need tires because it's parked with four flats. So we bought 4 used tires, pretty nice tires, and got put on it and everything. Now he's going to lose it. It's worth probably $3,000 over there. It's a little Toyota. Well, I just told him, I said, Brother Elias, I'm sorry. I just don't have that kind of money, and you're just going to have to lose your car. I'm sorry, but I can't help you. But I told the Lord, I said, that week, I said, God, I can't help this man. I know, though, he loses that car, it's going to still fall back on me because he's going to be begging me for all kind of help because he has no transportation. He's a pastor. So it's really creating a hardship, but I just, you know, I mean, this is always something like this. So this is not nothing new. And it's just the way it is. And Brother Daniels, really, I'm going to leave you alone, Brother Daniels. Where's Inez? Inez, I need some of your money, hon. You're going to have to turn loose of some of that. Hey, I'm just joking with her. I know y'all know I'm always ribbing her. And I may have got some of y'all believing she's got money. I really don't think she's got that much, but I think she's got more than what she lets on. You know, every woman's got a stash. You know that. I mean, my wife can pull out $100 bills anytime the grandkids need it. Now, when I need it, it ain't available. She's broke. And I think that's why Inez don't want a man. She ain't want no man messing with her stash. I'm just kidding you. Anyway, let's get back on. Let me get back out of the doghouse here. Where was I? What was I telling? Oh, he lifts his car. I just told God, I said, God, if you want me to help this man, you'll have to do something. You know, I mean, God's going to lose his car this week. They're going to pick it up this week if something don't happen, you know, Friday. He's got till Friday. I said, so, Lord, you've got till Friday to help this guy. If you want me to do anything about you, you'll have to do something. Well, the next day I found a $600 check from that Brother Hugo Rodriguez gave me 2 months ago in a meeting that I stuck in my briefcase that I forgot I had. I said, hey, look here, I got $600. So I thought that's good because we're brokering a flitter in the missionary accounting them back home. You know, so, and I just cashed a $600 check. The day before, I cashed a $600 check out of the Wichita missionary account, which they gave me a $600 offering when I was there, and I told them to put it. In fact, I'll tell you all this. For 12 years now, I've been going to Wichita, and they give me, that's the smallest offering they've ever gave me, $600. But Brother Green told me, he said, we're really struggling in Wichita. I said, we got so many people without jobs. The smallest offering I've ever gotten going to Wichita has been $1,000. Ever. In 12 years, they always give me $1,000, $1,500. And Brother Green probably gives $20,000 a year to the Dominican. That included, the offerings included. I've never taken one of them offerings. I've always told him, put it in the missionary account. Because it's just, you know, I mean, I just need it in the missionary account. And I, you know, Lord's helped me. We make it all right. And so I just never have felt I needed to take it for myself. So I've just always said, put it in there. And Little Rock Church helps because they always pay my gas going back and forth to Wichita. So that's, you know, pretty expensive nowadays. But I take the money and put it in the account there, and then I transfer it over it here. I normally try to transfer it in this account so we've got good paper trail. But sometimes when I'm over there, if I'm needed, I'll write a check on their account if we don't have it in ours. So I wrote a check for $600. I mean, when I get there, it's just, you know, well, Brother Green called me the day before I got there, and he said, now, if I'm going to pick his preacher up in Santo Domingo, I'm out of gas. I need some money to get to Santo Domingo. It costs $74 to fill up the van with gas. So I said, write a check for $100, fill the van up. And he said, well, how am I going to entertain this guy? I don't really have groceries and stuff. I said, his wife's coming with him. He said, well, I need groceries. I need to help this guy. And I'm Brother Smith. I'm pushed right now. That's why he uses that word, Brother Daniels, pushed. I understand pushed now. Anyway, so I said, this guy, he's going to give you an offering when he gets there. So I said, don't be bugging me for no check. He'll help you. He said, what if he don't? I said, he will. Trust me. He will help you when he gets there. He said, okay. So, anyway, we had church in Guerrero, and then, of course, Brother Elias' church, and, of course, Brother Jackson from Fuchsia, which is Babado, is all, well, about 30 minutes still west of Punta Cana, which is on the eastern tip of the coast. And Brother Jackson has a church in Fuchsia. Of course, the Carpios are there in Punta Cana, and his family is in Higüey, which is 40 minutes back west and a little bit north. So we're still working with that little group, but Brother and Sister Carpio are the main cogs of it now. And then Brother Rudy is in Higüey. And so they all came in for the Sunday service. And Brother Green's church is really just really growing. I mean, there's new people, new visitors there every time I go, and his church is just really growing. There was some new people there that Sunday morning that God really touched. There's also a man there from New Zealand who was an Ethiopian Jew. And he's converted to Christianity. And he and his dad are teachers, school teachers in New Zealand. And he married 5 years ago a girl from Haiti. And they're feeling the Lord to come over there to Haiti in the Dominican Republic area and help with schools. They just feel a real burden. They don't feel like they're called to the ministry, but they're called to education. But they really feel a burden for God's people. Well, while he was in the Dominican, him and his wife came over to the Dominican Republic just kind of looking around. Somebody robbed him. Got his suitcases, passports, every dime they had. All they had on was the clothes that they had. And the money that they had in their pockets, which is almost nothing. And they had their money, you know, in their room in this little motel. They stole everything they had. Well, he wound up, you know, needing to go to a little cheap motel. There's a little motel right next door to Brother Green's church. Which I really wish I could buy Brother Green's, the building we're having services in. Because it's got a 3-bedroom, 3-bath house. It's pretty nice on the top floor. The bottom floor is Brother Green's church. There's a little motel next door that'd make a wonderful school. And there's plenty of room behind it that you could turn his church into, like, if I had it, I'd turn it into a foyer with bathrooms, nice bathrooms, an office, and a place to put band instruments, and then I'd build a church behind it, because it's got, and with a dining room on top. It's got plenty of room. It's a nice big property. The problem is this old man and old woman that are about got 1 foot in the grave and one out, they want 11 million pesos for it, which is about $125,000 or something like that. It's worth it, really, with the price of property over there. But where am I going to get that kind of money, you know? Sister Inez, she's looking down. See, every time I start talking about money, she gets busy. Anyway, so I bet Sister Tally got a stash too. Did you know it? Look at her. She just is poker face she can be. Anyway, but Tally, you probably don't even know about it. He said talk to her. Anyway, so this guy that got robbed, he winds up in our service. And God this guy told me, he said, I go to a little church in New Zealand. He speaks, they speak English over there. He didn't understand the Spanish very much. He speak little, but he said, this guy, he said, you know, a lot of the things you said is things God's been dealing with our church about. And things, you know, there's just a lot of things you said that's not taught in Christianity that it is in the Bible, I know. And he said, God just really said, I just had goosebumps all over me several times while he was talking. He said, I believe God's called all this me to be robbed so I'd be here and meet you. Anyway, to make a long story short, they lost everything, and there's no New Zealand embassy in the Dominican Republic. But the embassy told us that if we could get them back to the to Haiti, where they flew into in Port-au-Prince, that they would have copies of their passports, and they could get out of there and get back to New Zealand, and of course they can get copies and all of that, get new passports and all. So I bought this guy's bus tickets back. It cost $100 to get him and his wife back to Haiti. But we took them back to Santo Domingo on our way back to the airport and visit with them. I really felt like God was in us meeting this guy. I felt like the Lord was really in this. And I think this man, his dad and wife, will wind up coming into the body. And I put him in connection with Brother Lionel Joseph, which I talked to this morning on the phone. It was him that I talked to in Haiti. So I felt like the Lord was in all that. That's still in development. We'll just have to see. But I really like this guy's spirit. I really believed his story. He even told me when we left him at the airport, he said, they dropped us off the airport and took them on the bus station. And he said, Brother Smith, he said, when I get back to Zealand, he said, we're not beggars. We're not people that can't pay our way. He said, when I get home, I will bank wire you the money or send it however you want me to send it to you. Yeah, it might be. There we go. Anyway, so I really felt like that was timely, that the Lord had us there to meet this guy and all this to happen. Then Saturday, before I left, before I came home on, oh no, I've got my days mixed up. I didn't come home to Thursday, so it must have been Wednesday. Yes, it was Wednesday. We had Sancocho at Brother and Sister Leah Cipriano's house. Brother and Sister Calderon came over, me and my wife, Brother Green and their wife. They wanted to have us have for dinner and have for lunch and Sancocho. And I told them, I said, I want to go to Coma Home. We have a four-wall cinder block building over there on a lot that Brother Calderon's got a church there in Coma Home. And they started out having home services, but it's grown now to like 40, 50 people. They can't have it in the house. They have it outside. Of course, they can't have it at all when it rains. And it rains during the rainy season every day, some, you know. And so, this has been standing like for 2 years. I've just put it off and on the back burner. This trip, I said, I want to go there and get pictures so I can show people in the body and ask for some help and see if I can't get this. It's got four walls up, but we need to get a concrete floor in it. That's how they do things different over there. They pour the footing, get the walls up, then they go inside because the walls are the forms then for the floor to be poured. Then they put a roof on it. So I need to get a concrete floor put in that thing, get a roof on it. But he wants to put a concrete flat roof on it so he can have a two-story. He don't want to put a metal roof on it. He wants to do it right. Which he's thinking right, but it's just, you know, cost more money. So I said, I want to get over and get pictures of this. By the way, there is a Zegia, we found out, is grows native over in the Dominican Republic. They have found out about moringa oleifera trees. And that's just went crazy over there. In fact, I was drinking fresh moringa tea every day while I was there. And Brother Calderon's property in Comahone has a moringa tree. I don't know how old. It's a big tree. And you just cut limbs off of it and you take the leaves off. And moringa oleifera is probably one of the greatest. They call it the miracle tree. And it's got, you don't have to take any kind of vitamin or anything if you take it. But to have it fresh leaves that you can just put it on salad, put it on your food, make tea out of it and drink it. It's been proven. John Hopkins Cancer Center's tested it again. I mean, it's dissolved tumors of cancer. It's just a tremendous health benefit. I could tell you a whole lot about it. But there's also another tree Brother Green's got growing in his yard called guanavana. And Sister Smith, I drank tea from that every time I go too. Sister Smith looked it up on the internet, and we read an article where it said that the leaves of this tree, if you drink the tea of it, make tea out of these leaves, that's pretty good tea. One article said that this is 10,000 times stronger than chemotherapy. It's healed many, many different kinds of cancer and is a wonderful cancer preventative. It's called, you can look it up yourself and do a little research on it. It's called soursop, S-O-U-R-S-O-P, soursop tree in America. It's what they call it, but I mean, we don't have any trees over here like that growing, I don't think. Soursop, S-O-U-R-S-O-P. Colon cancer, it's a lot of different kinds of cancer. Cervical cancer, a lot of different kinds. Lung cancer. It's a big about a 4-pound fruit. The fruit's good fruit too. Kills cancer 100-fold times more than chemotherapy. That's amazing. Now why don't we hear about that stuff from our medical people? Well, you can buy the soursop, all kinds of sour and health food stores here. Oh. It's just something you don't hear about. You know, nobody, medical people don't tell you about this stuff. It's like the moringa deal too. But that's right. Anyway, we went over and took the picture. But when we finished eating sancocho, we was going to go over to Comahone, take these pictures of this four standing walls. You know, I wanted to get pictures of that, Brother Calderon and his wife, and so I can try to have something to show some of the brothers and tell them what our need is. We start to go over, Brother Green said, Brother Smith, you think we ought to call that Haitian brother and just ask him about, where this property is? Maybe we ought to look at that today. You know, this Haitian guy that uncle died. I said, yeah, call him. So he called him and he said, he said, I'll take you over and show it to you. So he's in La Romana, so we meet him in a four-way, one of the red lights you stop at over there. So we meet him there and pick him up and take him with us. To come find out, this little Haitian church is in Comahone. It's a matter of fact, about 6 blocks away from Brother Calderon's building. So we get over there, and the little church is all locked up. The guy said, well, it's my deal. I don't have a key to it, but he just takes a bar and breaks the hasp off the lock. We pull the nails out and go in and look at it. And it's on a piece of property that's, for those of you that have been to Guerrero, this little building is on the same level of the shacky building in Guerrero, but a little bit nicer and a little bit bigger. I'd say it's same width, but maybe 10 to 15 foot, maybe 12 foot longer. Good smooth concrete floor in it. Walls all the way around with doors and windows that will shut and lock, which the walls and, I mean, there ain't no doors or windows in Coma Home, just openings in the walls and place to walk through for a door. There's a doorway, but no door. With one light bulb hanging in the ceiling, and I think this building just had one light bulb in it too. But it's the lot's much bigger, and there's a little house behind it that goes with it. So we got in there and looked it over and everything, talked to this guy. I said, well, what are you wanting to do here? He said, well, I'm not even a Christian. So he said, I don't want nothing to do with this. He said, this is my uncle. I promised him I'd do something. But he said, this is God's business, and I'm afraid of messing with God. So he said, I don't want nothing. I just want you to take this place. But he said, but if you could give me a little offering. You know, I'm fixing to go to Brazil, and I do need a little money. I don't want to sell it, but I need an offering. Of course, you could tell this guy wasn't no dummy altogether. And he said, I got a cousin, and he's going to have to sign the papers with me because we're the only two living relatives, and he's going to want a little offering or something. I said, well, how much is this little offering that y'all are needing? Well, he said, 60,000 pesos. Well, that's about $1,700. Figured out, 39 into 60,000. And so I talked to, I got Brother Calderon off the side by Brother Green. I said, Brother Calderon, what is all this worth? And he said, I don't know what the buildings are worth, but he said, land by itself is worth at least $5,000. He said, you could buy this and sell it, and it'd be, you'd make money. So I told Brother Green, I said, ask him if he could make it on a $40,000. That's $1,250 offering. So he said, well, I really need more than that. Anyway, make a long story short, I told him, I said, well, let us talk about this and pray about it, and we'll get back with you. And he said, but I want you all to take it, you know, just do something with it, because I'm not going to do nothing with this, and I'm not going to sell it. Well, he said, but if we give you this offering, are you going to sign the papers where we got the deed to it? And he said, yes, I'll do that. I'll do that. I want you just to take it and start doing whatever you're going to do, however God does stuff. Just do whatever God wants you to do. So I'm thinking, man, this is a building for Brother Calderon right now to start having services in. Just down the road is where his building is, and he's without a building. Of course, but I don't have $1,500 or $1,600, you know, and $1,538.50, okay. So, plus paying a lawyer to do the law, the work, the paperwork and all that. But we've got lawyers in the church, and I found out we can do it for $100. All the paying a notary and court fees and all that, and they won't charge us. So, so I got this, you know, they load you down with this kind of stuff when you go. But, I mean, I got Elias is $1,565, or he's going to lose his car. I got a $1,500 building that we need to buy. You know, so I need $3,000, $3,100, or whatever it is. Just down there, you're looking right at me now, ain't you? I like that. Anyway, so hard to take up an offering right here. Right now. Anyway, so that's on Wednesday. So when I get to the airport, or Thursday, we have to get up in the morning and leave the airport at 9 o'clock because our flight leaves at 1 o'clock. And I always tell them, I got to be at the airport, you know, at least an hour earlier than I got to be there. And I'm generally 30 minutes late for that. You know, I mean, you just can't hurry a Dominican. I don't know how they always do make their flights, but that's the only thing they make on time. But so you have to, you know, learn how to talk to them. You know, if they tell you service is going to be at 7, you don't have to be there till 8. It won't start before 8, except on Sunday morning. They are on time every Sunday morning. But on the rest of the services, it's always an hour after whenever they tell you they're going to be there. That's just the way it is. That's just their culture. I am working on it. I've got Brother Green moved up about 30 minutes, you know. But it can slip to an hour easy. You know, just any little thing can slip you right back into tradition. On the way to the airport, Thursday morning, I get a text from Brother Gary Green. He said, "Brother Smith, God just dealt with me, and I'm putting $2,000 in your account today. I don't know why you need it, but I know you need it." And I got $600 check in my that I hadn't cashed yet, you know. There's $2,600. I said, "We can come up with the other five. Some way we'll do it. If I had to do it personally, I can't, you know." So, well, I still had $300 left of the $600 check I cashed. Well, I didn't either, because I had $200 left from the last trip. Now, Brother Green, the way Brother Green always works this is when we get to the airport, he said, "Brother Smith, how many pesos you got left? Give them to me. You ain't going to use them. You can't do nothing with them. And I need it. I need your help." So I've learned to take, you know, what I do is I put like a little bit of pesos left in the pocket where he knows where I keep my money. I take the rest of them and put it in my briefcase. And I always got a little left over when I get home. I've got a couple $100 when I get there to start off with. So I had a couple $100 when I got there. I cashed a check for $600 and I got $300 of it left. But I had it, you know, and I did have $200 of it put in one pocket and $100 over here. But I got a Haitian that I got to give $100 to get back to Haiti. Rudy needs $100 for medication for his wife because he found out she's got some kind of form of leukemia and they can't even buy medicine for her. Oh, we had to fill up with gas on the way over there. Anyway, Needless to say, I didn't get no money. I had to pull out all stops and give them all the money I had, but I just felt like God wanted me to bail Elias out. So I told Brother Green, getting out of the car, I said, "Go to that finance company when you leave here. Write a check for $1,500. I told him $1,500. I said, "Elias can come up with the $65. He said, "Brother Smith," when I called him, he said, "I wrote the check for $1,600. Boy, I chewed him out. I said, "Don't you ever write a check for more money than what I tell you to write it for, ever." "You got that?" He said, "Yeah, Brother Smith, but we almost had a fight in that finance company and it cost $1,600, all except a little few bucks, to get that car paid off and get the clear title to it." And he said, I said, "Well, you should have called me." You know, so anyway, anyway, he wrote the check for $1,600. And then he went to, I said, "Go to the lawyer, tell the guy we're going to take that building. Tell him we'll give him $53,000 peso offering. That's $1,400. It's going to cost me $100 for the." And I said, "Now listen to what I'm telling you, because I'm broke. This is all the money I got. So just do what I'm telling you to do." I said, "He'll take the $53,000. So anyway, so when he called me, he said, they want the $60,000. I said, "Tell them to forget it. We're not interested in the building. Just tell them we're not going to do it." I knew if he'd tell him that, the guy'd say, "Oh, no, we'll do it." You know, I knew he'd do that. But what he did do was tell him, he said, "Well, our American elder, he's tied up with a lot of things, and it's going to be a couple of days before I can arrange all this for you." He didn't want to tell them we ain't going to take it, because he knew that I was probably aggravating him because he wrote a $1,600 check and he knew I'd cool off in a couple. Brother Green, I've learned how he works me and I know how to work him. But anyway, he aggravates me because I told him, he tells me, he said, Brother Smith, I only one ball I can throw to you that you can hit. And that's a straight ball. He said, you won't strike at a curve or a slider or a changeup or nothing but a straight ball is all I can throw. He said, you won't swing at nothing but a straight ball. And I said, well, but you keep throwing them curves and sliders. And he said, sometimes, Brother Smith, you just have to, at least see if you hit one. Anyway, make a long story short, that God, no doubt was in all of that. We got a building. We got it done. I talked to him yesterday and we got it all done and got at least his car paid off and got a clear title. Only thing I didn't do is I need to do is when they come over, I need to tell Brother Green, I want you to get the title to that car and hold it till I get there. I don't want him borrowing no more money on it. Because he will. He's getting it tight. They got something worth some money that you can get some money on. Do you know what mortgage interest rate is over there? 2.5% per month on the unpaid balance. Folks, that's 30% interest. And that's called add-on. That's not APR. It's highway robbery. And that's what the banks charge. There's a good business over there called buying checks. Now, they'll throw you in jail in a New York minute for writing a hot check. They have to have laws stringent for that because everybody would be doing it if they didn't. So they'll throw you in jail. You write a hot check, you will go to jail until that check gets picked up. And so there's a business over there of buying checks. And you can buy checks for 1.5% per month of what the check's worth. Somebody's got a $100 check, you can get $115 for it in 30 days. Just figure out what 1.5% a month would do on $50,000. $7,500 a month. It's a highway robbery business, but people do it all the time because they don't have any money. They'll go write a check because they know they got money coming. They'll go write a check for $500 and pay $575 back in 30 days. As a matter of fact, you write the check for $575, or if you got a check from somewhere else, you write them another check to pay for the check for the 1.5% interest. So, if you had some investors, you had $100,000 to keep rolling $100,000 worth of checks, you could have, what would that bring in, 1.5%, $1,500 a month on $100,000. Pretty good deal. See you upstairs. It's a shaky business, so you got to know what you're doing.